God is going to give us an opportunity to grow and to learn in him today. And I want you to take out your notes from last week because we're going to build on what we learned last week. If you weren't here, I want you to take a note and pay because this is life-changing for you. The first thing I want to cover is just kind of go over some of the things we talked about last week. Now, we talked about what is temptation. Now, before I go into anything, let me ask you a couple questions. We've talked about the story in the book of Genesis when Eve looked or lusted after the tree as she saw that it was good to eat, that it was good to look upon, and it was good to make her wise, and she lusted upon the tree. How many say that that was sin? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, this is hobbit hands. This is human hands. Hobbit, human. Let's do human hands. All right, how many say that what she did was sinful? Raise your hand. Okay, how many would say it's not sinful? Raise your hand. Oh, we got some people that came to church. How many don't know? All right, so last week we talked about that temptation in of itself is not sin. If it was, Eve would have sinned the moment she saw the tree and lusted out. Lust is not only sexual temptation. Lust means that your body is craving something that doesn't belong to you. And so Eve looked at the tree, saw that it was good to eat, saw that she wanted it. She heard that it would make her wise, and she wanted to eat it, so she then grabbed it and ate it. Did she sin at that point? How many think she sinned at that point? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Put your hands up high. Let me see. How many say she did? How many don't know? Okay. Eve didn't sin. How do we know she did sin? Now, she was told by her husband, don't eat it. She was told, don't eat it. But she looked on it, she lusted after it, and then she ate it. So how is it possible that she didn't sin? Because the Bible says that Eve was deceived. She didn't do it because she was wrong. She thought, oh man, this is great. I'm going to try to sneak around and eat the fruit. No, she really believed that she was doing it because it was okay. And God did not impute into her sin. So what did she do? How do we know she didn't sin? Because she didn't try to hide it. When a person sins, there's always an opportunity or an effort to hide what we do. We don't bring it to the light because we're walking in darkness. So Eve, what did she do? She took the fruit and she brought it to her husband. She was so wide open. Because you know what? We are cheated into thinking that the book of Genesis is about petty people. It's not petty. Well, he blamed me. She blamed him. He blamed the snake. Blah, blah, blame, blame, blame. It wasn't about blame. That's what we've been taught. Everybody in the book of Genesis told the truth. When she gave to Adam, however, he took it and ate. Did sin happen when he ate? How many think it happened? How many think it didn't happen? How many don't know? When he bit off that fruit, by the way, what was the fruit? The loudest one, apple. Steve Jobs was not in Genesis. Okay, here we go. It wasn't an apple. In fact, if you read in Genesis, it tells you the kind of fruit on the tree. There were 12 different types of fruit on the tree. In Revelation, the book of Revelation, it tells you there were 12 different fruit on the tree of life. So we don't know what kind of fruit it was. We just know she took a piece, gave it to her husband. He ate, and the moment he ate, he sinned. Why? Because the scriptures say that Eve was deceived, but Adam transgressed. In other words, to transgress God means to know beyond a shadow of a doubt what was right and wrong, and you still sinned. And the moment he ate, their eyes were open. And they knew what they that they were naked. And what is the first thing they did? Try to cover and hide what they did. They got some olive leaves, fig leaves, try to cover themselves. And then when the Lord, the Bible says this, watch this. Because in the Old Testament, Jesus appears in the Old Testament. And now, listen, if you don't believe me, go to Colossians chapter 1 through 3, and it'll tell you the one who was in the garden was Jesus. It wasn't God the Father. It was Jesus the Son. Well, Pastor Steve, that's ridiculous. How do you know that's the case? Because Jesus said, no man has ever seen the Father and lived. Nobody but the Son. So who was in the garden with Adam and Eve that they saw? Who was at the tent gate with Abraham debating with whether or not he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if it wasn't the Son? You can't see God and live. None has seen him, Jesus said, but me. So Jesus was manifest God in the garden, and Colossians says Jesus made all things according to the will of the Father. So he's in a garden, but in the Old Testament, this is what they called him. In John, it calls him this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we beheld his glory, John 1:14, the only begotten Son of the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The Word was in the beginning with God. The Word was called Jesus Christ, the righteous. The Word walked with Adam and Eve. How do we know that? Because when they sinned, the Bible says that Adam and Eve heard the voice of God walking in the garden. Have you ever seen a voice walk? What is the voice? The Word. When you speak, it is Word manifest. The voice of God was walking in the garden with Adam and Eve and said, Adam, where art thou? And where was Adam? He was hiding because he sinned. Sin will make you draw away from church, your friends, your pastor. It's so funny. I say this and I joke about it that when a person is thinking about leaving or they got an alt or sin, they actually move towards the back of the church. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding. But really, some people do it. Some people do it. They don't do it because they come to church late. They don't do it because they like the back. They do it because in their heart, they're hiding. And you'll see that if it's your mate or your husband or your wife, they say, well, I got something to do today. I got something to do. And you'll see them falling away from God. Listen, open your eyes. We are to care for one another. Love one another. The Bible says, encourage one another while it's still day. What does it mean by day? That we are still in the light. Don't wait till somebody gets into darkness. Get with somebody that you see that's fallen off. Someone that used to be fervent and passionate and on fire for God. And you start to see them wane. And you're wondering, why are you acting this way? Why is everything wrong with the world? Why are you mad at everybody? It's because something is in their life that they are hiding from God. But if you just encourage them, let it go. He is the light of the world. He sees it anyway. But when we try to hide it from him, we run from our help. At the end of your problem, you still got to go to him. You know, I had to learn that coming up in my faith. Because sometimes you say, man, I messed up and I don't like messing up. I want to get up and be right. I want to do the right thing. And so I'm tired of slipping, and so I just say, well, I'm not going to try anymore. But you know what? The day has to come when I still got to go back to him. because there's no way out but through the front door. I got to go in. So instead of letting yourself wander, just say, God, I blew it. Forgive me. Let me come on back. That's all you have to do. Adam and Eve hid themselves in the garden because they were afraid of their sins. Now, I want to give you the difference between the temptation and the sin. Temptation and the sin. Let's put up the formula for temptation. Can we slap that on the screen? What is temptation? It's going to come out of the book of James. And it's coming from the book of James. And we're talking about James 1, 13 through 15. And there's going to be a formula that we created based on that verse. There is a formula based on the verse. If we could have that formula on the screen, I'll explain it to you. Because James begins to tell us what temptation is. Temptation, if do we have it? Do we have it ready? Temptation is about the ability to say, okay, well, when you're tempted of God, first of all, no man can be tempted of God. Because God can't be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. First of all, temptation doesn't bother God. And we'll talk about that in more detail in a minute, but it doesn't bother him. But what, no, not the formula for sin, but temptation. There we go. So what is temptation? According to James 1:13, it is man is tempted when they're drawn away of their inner desires and enticed. Meaning that each one of us have our own issues, and then the enemy presents your issue. You can either go after it or not. And beginning of time, he did lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. When he tempted Jesus, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. When he tempted Israel, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. They're going to be in those three categories, whatever you're dealing with. And temptation comes because he's called the great tempter. He comes and finds one of those three and tempts you with it. Now, put up the formula again, please. The formula is when your ID or who you are, your inner desires plus outward what? Opportunities. When outward opportunities meet your inward desire, you are tempted. You walk down the street, you see somebody drop a $100 bill, your inward desire is to want that $100 bill. And your outward opportunity is it's sitting on the ground and the person doesn't realize it. What do? It's called temptation. When I was in college, there was a girl who said she needed money to go to college, and so she was in the financial aid line to ask for money, and there was an envelope on the ground, and it had $500 in it that she needed. So she picked it up and gave that money to be able to go to school that semester. Came to church shouting, hallelujah, I prayed and asked God, and there was on the ground $500. And the whole church went crazy. And I asked the question, did you ask, did anyone lose $500? Because her inner desire was stronger than righteousness. So there was a child that didn't go to college because she counted her sin as a blessing. Listen, don't ever say it's God when something gives something to you that's wrong. You look in your bank account and you got $1 million, don't touch it. You know you ain't earned that $1 million. That's called temptation. You better tell somebody and get that thing out of your sight. See, when that girl did that, that was a temptation and an outward opportunity. She latched on. And then when you bring, and this is the second formula. See, it was temptation at that point. She had not sinned. And many of us, things cross our paths, but we don't sin. We may have, oh man, that's desire. But as long as you don't do one thing, it doesn't become sin. That's where you can separate and have power. Because and I'll explain why you have power in a minute. But then here's what sin is. Let's go to the next slide. What is sin? According to James chapter 1. Let's put that on the screen. And it says Let's make it big, because I'm kind of big on the screen. Stop that laughing. There we go. What is the formula for sin? It's temptation, which is T, plus C. The word C in the book of James is conceive. Temptation plus conception equals sin or death. Now, what does that mean? He says, when sin or when temptation hath conceived, sin is born. In other words, when you conceive or you give life to that temptation, then it becomes sin. Now, life, giving life to something can be as simple as looking on another woman's beauty to lust after it. Not looking on another woman's beauty, because the moment you see it, you can turn your face and keep going and it won't affect you. But if you look on her to lust after her beauty, you've already committed adultery in your heart. That means you gave life to your temptation. When she picked up that 500, she was in the middle of temptation, but when she gave it in her name, she sinned. She gave life to her temptation. Ladies and gentlemen, know the difference, because all of us are born in the flesh. All of us will have one form of lust or craving for something that doesn't belong to us. But you don't have to fall for it. The moment you recognize the temptation, you can then cut it off and move on. Now, this is very important, because when you are not born again, you can't stop that process. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, this is the difference of being born again and not born again. When we were not born again, we didn't have the spirit to be able to help us stop between temptation and sin. We would literally, there would be no break. We thought it, we did it. We wanted it, we went for it. And there was no, if we wanted to cuss, right? You couldn't even resist. You got angry, you yelled. You couldn't stop your flesh from being flesh, from rising up, from doing the thing you don't want to do. That's why Paul made a comment. He says, the things that I want to do, I can't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Who will save me from this body of death? That's in Romans chapter 7. But the beauty is this, Romans chapter 8. Would you put Romans 8 and 1 up? He had set up 7 to tell you, I know your struggle. The struggle is real. Look at your neighbor and say, the struggle is real. You will be tempted. I'm telling you, you will have temptation. That's what he does. It will come into your life. I want you to get used to it. However, I need you to intervene with what's in you if you are born again. If you're not born again, get this in you and you'll be able to stop the disaster that's coming your way. Go to, what did I say? Romans 8. 8 and 1. Let's open up Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Open up your Bibles. Write this down. Romans 8 and 1 as they get it ready. And I want to show you what Jesus gave to us. And then I'm going to walk on. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Do we have it? All right. Now, let's read. Okay, stop right there. We were condemned by our sins. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. You were condemned already. He didn't come to make you feel bad. He didn't come to put sin on you. We were already walking in it. He says, I came to save you. Seek and save that which was lost. I didn't come to seek and save that which was found. I came for you, because we all have the struggle, and the struggle's real. Jesus said, put it back up on the screen. He goes on to say, hey, but now there is no condemnation for those who belong in Christ Jesus. Why? Next verse. Watch this. Everyone read it for me. Did you see that? because of the Spirit in you, it does what? It freed you from that instant reaction. Couldn't stop yourself. That instant thing where you couldn't change the habit. That thing that made you go, if I thought it, I did it. I was impulsive. I couldn't stop myself. If my desire to have it was to have it, I ate all the chocolate in the chocolate box. And it wasn't even my chocolate. It would have saved us from all the bad roommates in the world who eat your own food out of your refrigerator. Because they would have been tempted and said, no, Christ in me. Not going to eat it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, put the scripture back up. He has freed you. When you come to Jesus Christ and you now have the Spirit, he can break the power of sin. He intervenes with you. The reason why we have a struggle with engaging that power is because we never ask. We don't involve him in the sin. We just say, well, I can't help myself. Yes, you can. All you have to do is say, Lord, I feel the temptation. Say it with me. Lord, I feel the temptation. Say it again. Lord. And then you say, Holy Spirit, come in and help me. Say it. Now, when you do that, he does not ignore you. He comes in. And you feel like, oh, wow, there goes. That's how it works. It's that easy. But if we just must understand the principle, he gave it to us, the Spirit of God, to separate us from temptation that leads to sin. And sin, the wages of sin is death. What does death mean? It means that the sin is going to destroy both your life, your body, and your soul. All of them get destroyed because you start picking up darkness. And when people pick up, there's either light or darkness. And when you pick up a whole bunch of darkness, Jesus says, if your eyes be single, your body will be full of light. But if it's darkness, is that light? Great is the darkness in your body. It can affect your health. You'll find depression. You want to go to sleep all the time. You'll feel like you don't belong. And it's all because there's some darkness somewhere. I want you to stop and ask this question. Where is the darkness I'm ignoring in my life? If you're feeling like, I don't feel like I belong, ask the question, is there darkness in my life anywhere? Am I staying in the light or have I drifted into the darkness? Now, the Spirit of God gives us the power to stop the sin in our life. And I know some of you, when you came to Christ, you were delivered. You were set free. You used to be angry, mad, and mean. And you used to be a terror to everybody around you. And then all of a sudden you come to Christ, people go, what's wrong with you? You in a cult or something? That's what they say. And you're like, no, I just found Jesus. Jesus, what? No, you don't act the same. Something happened to you. What happened to you? You go, no, I don't think the same. When I go to try to think the way I used to, there's something in me that says, no, don't do that. That wasn't there before. The Spirit is now in us to stop us and say, come on, come back this way, come back this way. He leads us into truth and righteousness if the church universal will accept his help. I want you to become the most powerful you can be, but you cannot do it without the Spirit of God. You can't. There are those in you that have recognized that this process works and you utilize it and your light gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And then there are those of us who were never taught this and we wonder, how can they be so happy? How come they're so excited about the word and I can't stand reading it? It's my sleeping pill. Y'all know what I'm talking about. How many ever fell asleep reading the word? Come on, don't lie. Shame on you.
shame. No, I'm sorry.
See, it's because there are things you need to know to be successful in life. There are things you need to grab hold of in order to be successful in this life. He says, I came to give you life and that more abundantly. To get the abundant life, you must involve the Spirit of God in your decisions. The Spirit of God when temptation comes. The Spirit of God when you're struggling. And when that happens, you become an overcomer. This is a truth. He says you are more than overcomers. How in the world can you be more than an overcomer? What is that? It means that even when you're not facing a temptation or a problem, the power rests in you anyway. It's waiting to come out. You're more than a conqueror, because before you got to the problem, it's sitting there going, come on, come on, baby. Just let me loose. Let the Holy Ghost out. Let me help you. Let me come into this. I see the problem 2 days away. I'm ready. I'm ready. And he's working things in your life. He's opening up doors and jobs, and he's opening up influence and people. He's putting people around you. You don't even know the problem's coming, but he's more than a conqueror. He fixes it before you got to the problem. But there are some things he wants you to go through, but it ain't his temptation, but he's giving you the solution when you hit the temptation. That's why you got to know the word. You got to know the word. He says, if you abide in my word and my word abides in you, then you will be loved of my Father, and I will love you, and we will manifest. Woo! You want a manifestation from God? Get his word in you, and it'll show up. Use it. When Jesus was tempted in the garden and the enemy says, hey, throw yourself down on the ground. And he twists the word and said, for the Bible says the angels of God will hold thee up lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus said, you know what? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Listen, he used the word in context. Oh, y'all have missed that one. See, you can't use the word out of context and get delivered. Listen. People give you words out of context all the time. But the Bible said you study to show yourself approved unto God. Rightly dividing. You got to get that word, know what it means, and use it when it's time to use it. Unlock the door when the door is locked by using the right word at the right time. See, the enemy is going to twist the scripture. He'll twist the word, and he'll say, the Bible says that he holds up the wealth of the wicked so he can give it to the righteous. And we think, oh man, that's for the saints. No, he didn't say that. This was Old Testament. There wasn't no righteous in Christ. What he was talking about is, if you're living right, he'll take the wealth of the people not living right and give it to you. You can be a saint all you want, but if you ain't living right, that wealth will go to a saint that is. Hello, somebody. So don't wait on that word and think all of it's going to come to you. No, you still got to live the right way. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You understand what I'm saying? So the point of it is that you have to engage the Holy Spirit at the moment of your temptation. And you have to, when you have the word, you have the strength and the wherewithal to be able to fight the temptation. Some of you think you're too young. Some of y'all think, well, that's for when I get old. That's for when I get... whatever. Y'all done messed it up. Jesus wrote the Bible and had the Bible written on a fifth grade level. If you over the fifth grade, this belongs to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we must engage the Word of God so that it can work for us. Some of us never seen a miracle, never had a demon cast out. You've never spoken in another tongue. You've never understood how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you wonder, man, why am I not victorious? Why is Christianity boring? Because you are on the boring side. Do I look like I'm bored? I am not bored at all. Anybody around me, they know I come back with testimonies every day. I'm like, and then he did this, and then he did this, and then he did this, and then what? Then he did that. I'm like, and then he talked to me, and he said this, and he said that. Why? Because I am so dogged that what he said was true. I'm not convinced by what I see. I'm convinced by what he says. So if he said it, it settles it. I need you to follow me as I follow Christ. I need you to get excited again. You may be 80 or 8, but get excited about your Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, if you're not willing to be a fool for Christ, you can't be a Christian. Because God will ask you to do foolish things. Why do I say that? Because it'll sound so crazy. You're like, I don't know. That don't make no sense. It's going to make me look. I remember the story of a band. A woman had come to church. She had visited the church for the very first time. And she said, you know, she was sitting up in the balcony. She was watching. And she was looking at everything. She said, God, I don't know if you're real. I don't know what's going on. She said, but I don't know if all this stuff is real, what they're talking. I don't know. And then she said, well, you know what? I'm gonna see if you're real. She said, she looked down there and saw this placid, relaxed, dignified man on the front row. And the preacher's preaching, just going at it. She said, if you make that man jump up and start running around, I'll believe. And the next thing you know, that man, woo! Woo! And then he sat down like, what in the world? He didn't know why he did it. All he knew is the Lord said, get up and jump. Get up and dance. And the man fought it. And that's what we do. We hear it once, twice, three times. It can't be God. Listen, you're arguing with yourself. That's your clue. People say, I don't hear God. You hear him all the time. When you find yourself arguing, should I? Tap your neighbor and say, that's the clue. That's what I do. I just, the way you get excited is that you stop waiting so long. Just do it. That's when you start getting more and more into God, because you realize, man, I don't have to wait till he tells me three times. I can do it the first time. Well, the man jumped, and then he was like, man, I don't know why I did that. And the lady came down the altar, gave her life to Christ, turned around and said, sir, I asked God, if you would jump, I would get saved. He brought a woman to Jesus by obeying Christ. What do you think his temptation was? What was it? It was lust, but which one? Pride of life. That's the struggle many of us have. I ain't going to do that. I'm going to look crazy. My friends ain't going to like me no more. I'm going to stand. I'm a dignified person. Listen, if you're dying, how dignified do you need to be before you let that go? Better is a live dog than a dead lion. That's what it says in the scripture. You got to just bow down. You got to be able to just roll over. Let your underbelly show. Don't be trying to be a lion. No, be like a dog. Roll over and let God do it. Show your underside. Be vulnerable. Let God have his way in your life. Some of you will have so much excitement in God, the word ain't going to be a problem to read. You'll be like, man, what does the word say next? Now, how much time I got left? Because there's a lot I want to share with the church. Oh, man, I'm done. God, dog it. Church, we are on a journey, but I don't want to leave anybody behind. I need you to believe me that everything that God's word said he will do for you. That you will accept his truth as yours. It's worked for 2,000 years, and the church is ever growing. Don't ever let anybody ever, spell it, E-V-A, ever, tell you the church isn't growing. No, God is expanding his kingdom in leaps and bounds. And you may see some churches flounder. That's okay. That ain't all his people. And it ain't us. Come on, somebody. Yeah. That ain't us. Our prayer should be, when we hear pastors that have fallen, God, get them back up again. There's been too much investment in those guys. We don't sit there and call them hypocrites. Get them up and get them back to work. Because if the sin of the church was exposed, come on, somebody. If we were able to flip the script and all your sins flow to the top of your heads, what would you want your pastor to do? She said, run! Run! That might be right. No, we have to be merciful for each other. We have to pray for the church. I don't take any pleasure in a church that fails. That's one more kingdom location that's been hurt. So I pray for them. Can I say this too? Can I just end with this thought? You know, we've become so politically divided, racially divided as a country, it's ridiculous. It's foolishness. You know, racism is no more than a form of hatred. And you deal with hatred the same way you deal with every other sin. Love conquers evil. And what that means is whether it's from black to white, white to black, Hispanic to another Latino or whatever, we must love one another. At the end of the day, to overcome temptation, we must become more like God. God is love. We must love his word. We must love each other. And we've got to overcome this evil that seems to grip our country. You know, you may or may not agree with President Trump. You may or may not have agreed with Barack Obama. You may have your favorite president. But the Bible says this. Pray for the leaders of your country that you may dwell in peace. Do we say, well, I don't like them, but I'm not going to pray. Well, that's what it was for. Because when you don't pray, you hate. Because you don't submit that feeling to God in a good way, so it becomes hatred. It becomes anger, bitterness. When you pray for somebody, you can't hold on to that. You don't like the president? Then do what the Bible says. Pray for him. I don't have to like what anybody does, but I can pray for everybody. Bless your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. This is what Jesus was all about. He didn't come to a healthy world, but one condemned and broken. I want to show you that the Spirit of God that's in you allows you to disconnect the power of sin in your life. For the power to come on, you got to flip a switch. And when two connectors attach, then the lights come on. I want to show you to flip the switch of the Holy Ghost in your life and let the light come on. You don't have to struggle where you are. God will help you. You're here today because he wants you to hear this so you can start applying it to your life so that you're not a victim anymore. There's nobody in here that's a victim. You're an overcomer already. Did you hear what I just said? You're an overcomer already. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he did it by the Spirit of God. All of us, if you confess Christ as your Savior, that's your power. Would you stand to your feet, please? How do we live in such an extraordinary way? Ordinary people experiencing extraordinary things. It's by accepting the Spirit of God's movement in your life. The worship today was amazing. But it was amazing because they yielded to the Spirit of God. But what if everybody came in on one accord and we all just yielded? People say, what does it mean to be yielded? What it means is that you empty yourself out and you let him fill you. Your thoughts, your opinions, you empty and let him in. Now he's there, but you got to let him come out. That you love one another. The more you let come out, the more to change the vessel it comes out of. Y'all better hear me. The more love you hold back, they always say this, pressure busts pipes. That pressure will build and you'll break. But once you let it out and let it flow, it will clean the pipes from within and give life to those without. Today, I want you to close your eyes for a second. We're going before the Lord. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you look upon our church and those in the body of Christ that are here, online, and around the world, that you let the Holy Spirit disconnect temptation from sin, that we may live overpowering lives, that we will be able to control the tongue, control our eyes, control our flesh, that we might be lights to them that are without. And today, God, we ask that as we listen, may we go back home and get in the Word and build up our most holy faith, for it is indeed holy, and we can be holy too. Be ye holy, as I am holy, saith the Lord. Let the Word, the voice of God, dwell richly in all of us. And God, we thank you in Jesus' name.